Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Welcome to Earth.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Bond. James Bond.
Pop quiz, hot shot.
Your move, creep.
Get off my plane.
Get your ass to Mars.
I feel mean.
Hello, everyone, welcome to the Evan Nash Cast for the week of May 9th, 2016. I'm your host, Zach. This time we have Chris.
Hello.
And Joe.
Yeah, let's get to it.
Yes, because we have a ton of stuff to talk about this week, as usual. There's a ton of big news. So why don't we dive into some of the trailers that came out for this past week or so. We got the first full trailer for the new Voltron that's hitting Netflix next month.
Pretty sweet.
It looks pretty awesome, especially if you're a fan of Avatar, The Last Airbender, or Legend of Korra. It's that exact same team basically is doing this. So it's very anime inspired and like.
Yeah.
And I think also along with the trailer, they announced the voice cast for it, and it's pretty cool voice cast. We got Rhys Darby is there for some reason, which is awesome.
You've gone and made a Voltron, Brett.
Yeah, he was actually just on this past episode of Mike Tyson Mysteries as the pool guy.
Oh,
it was so good,
incredible.
And Mike's like, they all want to fire him. Mike hates confrontation. He's like, someone else do. I can't deal with escalations. Anyway, and then we got Steven Yeun from Walking Dead. Glenn is on there. We got Tyler Bean from Tucker and Dale vs. Evil. Josh Keaton, Jeremy Shade, Beck Taylor Klaus. And then the two producers are they've been like pretty much like on all the DC animated movies plus like Legend of Korra, so they have some good animated chops going on.
Yeah, pretty capable hands, I would say.
DreamWorks Animation's behind it, so.
Yeah. Now, this is Netflix's, like, second or third, original animation, right? I mean, even though it's not, like, original, but, like, their own in-house production, I think.
Well, they've been teaming with DreamWorks for, like, a bunch of stuff, because they did a bunch of series for, like, their movies. Like, there was, like, the Turbo Show.
The
Fufu Panda Show, I think, was on Netflix. Right.
Yeah. That's right.
Like the Hatchet and Dragon second show was on Netflix, I think.
Yeah, wasn't there like a Godzilla show or something?
I haven't seen it yet because it looks terrible. But there's a King Kong show that's like King Kong in like 27th century or whatever. It's like
it's just not good.
The animation looks goddamn terrible in that show if you just look at the previews. So.
Some shows don't have to be made. Netflix.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, this one definitely looks like one to check out. I like the producers like one, I think for one of them was like, this is how we all remember Voltron to be, even though the original Voltron was like a terrible mess. So
nothing like this. Yeah.
Like this is like our imagination of like what we have. We remember Voltron as.
Well, that's cool, though, that it's not someone who's like, I don't know, I've never heard of Voltron, but.
Yeah.
Then they offered me a big check, and I said I was available.
Yeah, so that's going to be all episodes streaming on June 10th, so definitely check that out on Netflix when that comes out. We also got the first trailer this week for the new Dan Brown movie adaptation. The third in the series, we got Inferno coming with Tom Hanks back as symbologist Robert Langdon.
Just can't get away from the church.
This one doesn't have anything to do with the church this time. Inferno is all about there's these clues.
Dante's Inferno, it's still deeply rooted in Christianity, and it's like, dude, man, like time to switch. Go to something else. Yeah. Like, fuck with the Jews. I don't know.
Because Inferno was like his fourth book, so they skipped over The Lost Symbol, which is all about, like, the Masons.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Because that one's, like, National Treasure.
Yeah, that one was, yeah, that, which, I don't know why you wouldn't want to do that, but...
Yeah, this should we make a fun movie that everybody loves?
Like this is this one. This one's for that Christian like adventure group.
We want something they could show at Sunday school.
pretty much. Angels and Demons was okay. Like I still preferred Da Vinci's Code, but Angels and Demons, like that one was such a weird grab.
None of them have been that great. Like,
dude, I didn't even see Angels and Demons. I was like, oh, I should see Angels and Demons. Just like, went about my life.
Yeah, that's not on TV, like, ever.
Yeah, I know.
Like, Da Vinci's Code was, like, on TV a couple times.
All the time. TNT, like, bought the rights, like, before the movie was even out. They're like, we're going to show it first. It's like, could we film it, TNT? Jesus Christ.
But yeah, so basically the premise of, like, Inferno is that there's this... I think he's played by Ben Foster, but there's like this crazy. I think he's also like some sort of billionaire. Basically, this psychopathic billionaire who's like somehow through like Dante's Inferno, he thinks like he got inspired by Dante's Inferno to like create like this plague that's gonna like kill most of the world's population off.
Of course.
But then I was like halfway through the book and then I kind of like dropped off of the book, but like Robert Langdon wakes up in like Italy and he has no memory of how he got there and he has like this like weird like USB stick with like all these like clues about Dante's Inferno on it, and then he teams up with this doctor to like...
That's not the devil, that's Sambuca.
Yeah. he forgot the clues. And then in the movie, the doctor's going to be played by Felicity Jones, our future Star Wars hero. And Ron Howard is back to direct for the third time, so I don't know.
Is he going to narrate it too? Because I feel like that'd be pretty sweet.
Will Arnett shows up for no reason.
He's actually Dante.
A terrible mistake.
So yeah, it looks like the other two movies. So if you're a fan of those, maybe I'll finish the book before it comes out. But
yeah, no pressure.
It stopped like a year ago, so it's like I'd probably have to start over.
Like it can't capture the magic that was Da Vinci's Code. Like they try to always try to get to that level,
mm-hmm.
but it's like you kind of forget that Inferno is part of the series unless you're a big fan of it. You know?
Yeah, that first movie was like lightning in a bottle, man. Like, it was just like, everyone was so excited for that.
The movie and the book, because the book was like a phenomenon.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, it sure was.
There was like 10 books of like, the secret behind Da Vinci Code.
Yeah, oh, so many like weird ass grabs after that.
And then
Demons, anyone?
And then it was weird too, because like, I think Angels and Demons came out before Da Vinci's Code, but then after Da Vinci's Code, everyone was like, oh man, Angels and Demons, guys, there's more. This one came out 2 years ago.
I think Dan Brown was like, I've got other stories. Like, no, more of this.
Yeah.
God damn it, no.
I think he's got two weird ones that aren't Robert Langdon books. They're just, like, offshoot books.
They just murder mystery things.
Yeah.
He's using it as, a mystery artist. Like, a mystery writer first. And then he's just like, Christians really love this shit.
Put that shit away. They want to read this.
It's like when J.K. Rowling went into like murder mysteries, mm-hmm. like after Harry Potter, and no one gave a shit. They're like, "Oh yeah, like when are you going back to magic?
Where's the magic?"
She came home one day, and there were just guys in suits smoking cigarettes in her living room. They're like, "Sit down, J.K. What? Sit down. Listen, you had your fun.
We're from Warner Brothers.
Yeah,
the money's dried up.
We'd like to talk to you about the Potter Initiative. Yeah. What?"
So yeah, so Inferno is out in November, I believe. Because I think it's when the other two came out. So big November, get the whole family to go watch crazy Dante Inferno conspiracies.
I love it.
Also got the trailer this week for a movie I had never heard of until the trailer came out today. But Nerve.
Nope.
You guys see this one? It is, so it's from the guys who made Catfish and Paranormal Activity 3 and 4. But yeah, not from, it's not
combo from the team that brought you Kid Songs and Schindler's List.
Yeah. But yeah, and then starring Emma Roberts and Dave Franco. it's basically like basically what it seems like is that it's like someone decided to like remake like the game, but
yeah,
but then like make it all like hipster teen like social media like Twitter like
god damn it.
Because like basically the premise of this movie is that there's a website called Nerve that you can pay to watch, and then like but then you then just players who like get these dares to go do like go like jump off a building with a parachute here's the parachute or like go run through traffic or something like all these like crazy things for money, and then the more like the more you do or the more like the more dangerous or I guess I don't know the crazier it is like the more money you get, and then Emma Roberts decides like yeah my life is like not excited, I'm gonna go join this game, and then she like meets Dane Franco and they like play the game together, and then it's like they start getting these like crazy dangerous dares, and it's like oh now we can't get out of this game because they stole our identity and stuff.
Oh no.
But yeah, it's full of like Twitter handles and like hashtags and like
oh no bueno.
Yeah. I don't know, it's coming out in July, which is weird. Like this feels like a September October movie or something. Like one of those like not quite ready for summer, like and not quite in that weird like between summer and Oscar season, like just like dumb stuff. Like it feels like I don't know, like that In Time or something with the Justin Timberlake movie. Like what's like what,
oh my
it's like
God.
On that level.
It's like Beautiful People of Problems, the movie.
Yeah. Weird high concept problems.
Nice.
But yeah, that's out on July 27th, so you can check that out if you want, or like whatever the other huge movie that's coming out that weekend. Then we also got the first trailer for Yoga Hosers this week, the new Kevin Smith movie.
Oh boy.
Part two of his True North trilogy, which is all it's like three movies set in Canada. We got Tusk, I think, 2 years ago?
Something like that.
Two or three years ago.
Yeah, we got Tusk. So now this is the second one. And then, kind of weird, like, everyone from Tusk is back, but, like, as different characters now.
God damn it.
And then,
so like a regular Kevin Smith movie.
Yeah, basically, yes. Okay. Johnny Depp's back as Guy Lapointe, the crazy, like, Quebec investigator, and then Kevin Smith's daughter, Harley Quinn, and Johnny Depp's daughter, Lily Rose, are the stars, and they're both named Colleen, and they're both, like sophomores in high school, and then they get invited to a party, and then all of a sudden, like, Nazi bratwurst starts attacking. Like, it's, like,
I think they're, like, German, just German.
Well, they call them, like, Bratzies, so it's, like, they're, like, Nazi bratwurst.
Are we talking about food here?
Yes, like, literally, like, little German men who are sausages are attacking.
Okay.
Yes, that is the proper response.
I've never watched a person go insane before. Because, like, Kevin Smith, I love Kevin Smith. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. But, like, Jesus Christ, man. Like, where is some of this stuff coming from? Like, every few months he'll say something, like, really smart and make this really, like, poignant statement on Facebook about, like, comics or like you know something that I care about. I'm like oh yeah right on Kev. I'm like 15 minutes later it's like so I'm making a movie about little fucking meat Nazis that attack my daughter and yeah. My daughter's friend.
Yeah
what okay
and Johnny nope. Depp's there and he's French
totes
man. Yeah but why do they call it Yogi Hoser? Like I know, but if you haven't seen the trailer, it's something really like random.
I'll spoil it. I don't care. I'm not watching this fucking.
They like hockey and they like yoga.
Yeah, and then Justin Long is like some crazy like yoga instructor or something.
Good.
All the makings of a great movie.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm enchanted right now.
I have literally no clue like how these three very like disparate things like even like try to like high school. It's like because it seems like in the beginning of the show it's going to like a kind of like a normal like high school comedy or something. It's like oh man, we gotta get ready for this big party with the seniors. And it's like and then it's like Johnny Depp shows up and then it's like oh now there's Nazi sausages running around. We gotta get, hopefully we can stop these bratwursts so we can get to that party.
God damn it.
Who knows? It seems like at the very least it's gonna be less disturbing than Tusk, so possibly.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
So that's gonna be out on July 29th, if you wanna check that one out. And then we also got we've gotten that teaser before, but like this is the full trailer for the new Cinemax show, Outcast, which is the non-zombie Robert Kirkman show that's coming. And it's a demonic possession show, so there's this guy who can I don't know, he has super like powers that he can like kind of like fight demons who are like taking over people's bodies. And so he's basically just going around with this priest and like fighting demons.
So that's
pretty sweet.
Because like I was looking at Outcast and I was trying to figure out where it's just like this is like a really weird version of Supernatural.
Like a dark, like not funny at all. Well, sort of like if, like, well, I mean, there is going to be an Exorcist show coming to Fox, but, like,
damn it.
Yeah, like if someone made, like, one of those Exorcism movies into like, a series, like, it would be kind of like this. But I think the thing is, like, to kind of, like, separate it from those, it's, like, this guy has, like, actual, like, superpowers that he can, like, fight demons with.
Well, the other brother, the Supernatural brothers eventually get powers.
Okay.
Spoilers!
Yeah.
JK.
Man, spoilers from when you eventually watch like
years ago.
Yeah. Who knows? Like, someday I might watch like all like 30 seasons of Supernatural. Like,
yeah, that show is like way older than Smallville at this point.
Binge party.
And they're all 24 episode long seasons. I'm guessing, so that's like it's like insurmountable. Like,
it's like no 4 years of your life.
Yeah, no one's ever gonna watch that if they're not watching it. Anywho, Outcast is coming in June, I believe, to Cinemax. Yep, just June 3rd. It's going to be 10 episodes. Adam Wingard's directing the pilot. He directed You're Next and The Guests, which, speaking of which, he's also directing a movie this September called The Woods. Which we got a very teasery teaser for. Doesn't really show much about what's going on, except it's going to be, unlike, like, Your Next, which was more of, like, a, like, dark horror comedy, like, this is, like, full on, just straight-up horror. And, it seems like kind of a typical, like, these friends go in the woods and horrible things happen.
It just, like, it escalates, though, in the trailer. Yeah. It's not just, like, somebody's chasing me, it's like, there's so much blood, and they're ripping things off of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, and I mean, we joked about it, but Joe was like, this is kind of like a Blair Witch Project movie that is not calling itself Blair Witch, even though this is basically Blair Witch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Zach and I were talking about it a little bit before we started recording, and I was basically saying, like, I really like this trend of slowed down creepy pop songs when they work, you know? And in this case, I think it did. I was like, okay, that sets the tone. That's kind of cool and everything. And then, you know, as much as we feel like we've probably seen this movie already, like, at least it's original.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is that at least it's, like, doing its own thing, even if the concept isn't new. You know, like, because they could have just said, like, The Blair Witch Project. Or they could have, you know, just remade fucking, you know, Lost in the Woods X or whatever the fuck movie,
mm-hmm.
you know? So, in that regard, I'm on board, but it looks creepy. At least it looks, you know, I'm intrigued. I'd like to see more.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it did its job.
I'm definitely on board. Cause both those previous Adam Wingard movies were awesome. So I don't know if you guys seen Your Next or The Guest.
No, but you said Your Next was really good and I'm just shocked. I haven't got around to seeing it yet.
Yeah. Your Next is basically for home invasion horror movies. What Cabin in the Woods did for, like, Cabin in the Woods movies.
Oh, yeah?
Because it's a total, like, subversion of, like, what you think is going to happen in one of those movies.
Sweet.
And then, yeah, and then The Guest is, like, it's kind of, like, if you're a fan of Drive, like, The Guest is, like, kind of in that vein. But it's like this. But it's like there's like all these like weird homages to like 80s movies and stuff. And then, but then,
ooh.
And like a really like awesome like Dan Stevens like this really like creepy like or like unhinged like soldier goes back and then, like just like, stays with his friend's family and then like a, like it just gets, he just gets like more and more like unhinged and insane as the movie goes on.
That's cool.
Yeah, they're both really super awesome. And then he's also. Well, we said he's directing the Outcast pilot. He's also directing the Death Note movie for Netflix.
Ooh.
I still can't believe that's a thing.
Yeah.
Well, it's been like 8 years in limbo, but like it's just the American live action movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the super Japanese one that's out. Good God.
Oh, yeah. It's
like they're not even trying with that CG.
No. Nah, it's really like not. I've seen better pornos with better production values, which is weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, The Woods, it's going to be out in September. it's apparently the scariest movie ever made, according to the promo, like, quotes. So.
Yeah, give us some more hyperbole, though, for sure. I mean, Jesus Christ, like, they show you a clip of the trees from above, and it's like, the scariest movie ever made. I'm like, okay. Can you show me why?
They're doing
this movie will eat your balls. What? Like, that doesn't even sound like a threat.
They're doing the Evil Dead remake, like, marketing, where, like, the trailer for Evil Dead was just like, this is literally the scariest movie you've ever seen in your life.
In their defense, that Evil Dead remake pushed a lot of fucking buttons.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was goddamn great. I know we've talked about it a million times, but, like, that was genuinely scary. It was a good gore fest, like, people were screaming in the fucking theaters when I saw it, and I was just sitting there like, yes, yes!
Yeah.
like the fucking scarecrow, which is like, fear! You know? So, yeah.
So, last trailer for the week is we got the trailer for USS Indianapolis, Men of Courage, which stars Nicolas Cage as the captain of the USS Indianapolis. That was so it's based on a true story. So the Indianapolis was the ship that delivered the atom bomb to like the where they were loaded up onto the planes, and then they were heading to some other island for a training exercise, and they got sunk by a Japanese submarine. And then the crew who survived the sinking of the ship were like just floating in the ocean, and they started getting attacked by sharks.
Of course.
So it's if you've seen Jaws, it's the story that Quint tells about like the men like getting attacked by sharks.
Oh, okay.
So this is like the dramatic reenactment of that story.
Interesting.
Directed by Mario Van Peebles of all people. So
sure. Yeah. Good for you.
And yeah, so it's starring Nicolas Cage. And then yeah, kind of an insane cast in this thing. It's got like Nicolas Cage. It's Aaron Eckhart's in it. Tom Jane's in it.
Damn.
Who else? Tom Sizemore. Yeah, okay. But the only thing that like it would probably be disrespectful if it was like insane, but like if you have a Nicolas Cage shark movie, like it should like you kind of hope that it would be like just batshit insane. Yeah. But this one is like so like 100% like playing it straight, like we must honor the memory of these men who gave their lives during World War II. So there's no chance for like a Nicolas Cage freak out or like him like punching a shark in the face or probably.
Oh,
or, like,
just wait. There's always a chance. Mark my goddamn words. Yeah. There is always a chance.
Yeah, hopefully he starts like yelling at sharks or something. It's like, you want to eat me? You want to eat me?
I hope that's true. I'll be rooting for that.
Yeah. And that one actually doesn't have a solid release date, but possibly this year, maybe.
Cool, I think.
So, moving on to other news. Some big news around the new Power Rangers movie. We've got the first look at the Power Ranger uniforms, or armor, I guess, because they're like it's full on like Iron Man
armor.
Yeah. So all five Rangers, we got to see it was in Entertainment Weekly and it was like all over the internet. So, their new Power Ranger uniforms. very, very Iron Man-esque. They all look like it's all like Iron Man armor, basically. I don't know. What do you think of the look, Joe?
Dude, I thought it was familiar. Obviously, like it was a good homage to the original suits, mm-hmm. but like, see, I'm torn because unless you just showed me the original suits again, I wouldn't be totally satisfied. But at the same time, even if you did, I'd be like, so nothing new or like no update or anything like that.
Yeah.
So I think they struck a good balance between, I guess, what would be quote unquote realistic from our sort of modern moviegoer expectations, mm-hmm. you know, where it's like we've seen Iron Man now. So it's assumed that you can have that kind of, you know, streamlined cyborgy tech suit kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like the color scheme and like the morpher,
the helmet,
and all that
the helmets
stuff,
look good. Like you can like it definitely looks
right with like the steel lip sort of thing.
Yeah,
you know,
and,
steel
and,
mouth.
And like the animal, like you can see like especially like the Red Ranger, like T Rex on the side of the helmet and stuff. So
very pronounced, very pronounced.
I read in the Entertainment Weekly article like they were saying like I think it was the director or the producer or someone was saying like since they're like it's like alien technology, so they wanted to basically be like kind of like it like. It's an alien technology that grows on them, and it's like kind of like a chrysalis or like an insect-like thing. So it's like they're in like the, it's like a yeah, it's like a some sort of like cocoon or something. Basically, you're like an insect carapace or something. Because it's like and then trying to make it like kind of alien-like.
You lost me there.
Yeah, I don't know. They went to some metaphor of like this is like a chrysalis that they go into and they transform, and then it's like they go from
literally mean like these motherfuckers go in a cocoon, right?
No, it was like a metaphorical like they go in as kids and they come out as adults or something,
and they come out as rangers,
yeah,
Power Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, keep your metaphors to yourself, there, Frenchie. Right?
Like I think there's a reason why Power Rangers never got like a bug. Version, you know, like because it just it's weird,
you know.
Yeah, Beetleborgs is the closest, but even then, they didn't really like, crystallize. Like they just were robots, you know.
Yeah,
insects are a touchy subject to introduce to like kids because they're like, wait, what? Like you don't want to see that? Like they beat the shit out of bug things.
They sure did. I mean, listen, I get his metaphor, obviously, but like I. Just say you fucking updated the suit, all right? You're not going to win like, any fucking awards for this movie. Somebody tell him that this is not an Oscar picture. This is just the fucking Power Rangers.
Wait, when are they releasing this for the summer or later?
Oh, like, it's 100% summer, yeah.
Okay, because like, if they're trying to make an Oscar bait movie for like best costume design, you know, I'm like, is there going to be like a runaway slave scene? Like, what do we...
Well, then it would be an automatic best picture contender.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Or at least best director, you know, something like that. But shit, man, I'm psyched to see some more picks. Hopefully,
yeah. Hopefully,
swords.
Yeah, hopefully close to. I don't know how close we are to a trailer, but
yeah,
they're gonna like flipbook all the pictures of Elizabeth Banks like screaming in the street.
Hey, man, I'd be okay with that.
Mm-hmm. So, other news, we got some DC Cinematic Universe news this week. First up, there's a screenwriter hired for a Booster Gold movie.
Sure, whatever.
Zach Stentz, who he literally just wrote the Kevin Smith Flash episode that was on this week. So he wrote that, and he wrote had writing credits on Thor and the aforementioned new Power Rangers movie and Agent Cody Banks.
Ooh.
That's a deep cut.
This guy is well qualified.
Yes.
He's a real Hollywood big timer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he's hired to write a script. And Greg Berlanti, who is the mastermind of the CWDC verse, is going to probably produce it and then possibly also direct it.
And also burn it all.
Yeah, and burn it to the fucking ground. He's gonna be like, oh, this is a cool script. And just like spit on it.
Mm-hmm.
They're all evil. What? Everyone's a superhero.
Give me Stephen Amell on the phone.
We laugh, but it's true.
But yeah, if this is, so, a lot of people are thinking this is like Warner Bros. Like we need to make everything lighter, because Booster Gold is not a dark character. There's if you made Booster Gold dark, it would make no sense.
Yeah, no Booster. Now here's my prediction: what if Booster Gold was the bridge between TV and movies? And kind of was the movie that said, like, hey, yeah, Earth 1, Earth 2, like, we know they exist. Or at least, like, the audience is going to know they exist, even if they don't know of each other's existence. That would be the perfect goddamn movie to do it in. I don't think that it's going to happen, but I would really like to see this.
Well, it's too much of a visionary.
Well, I'm just wondering, he's, like, time travel guy, though, right? Like, I guess, but, like... Because it wouldn't be
is
like,
he?
Yeah, he's like a security guard, like a just a low level, like a football, like a dumb jock security guard for the future. And he just steals a bunch of stuff, and then comes back to like our present day, which were like the like present day of DC universe, and like is like, hey guys, I'm a superhero. give me some money.
Like I remember, he was like cocky.
Yes.
And then like he usually doesn't win a lot of fights.
No.
Like, I remember, like, in the Doomsday, when he fought Doomsday, he gets, like, smacked around, like, pretty easily.
Well, he and Blue Beetle just team up and then just try to do, like, a bunch of get-rich-quick schemes to, like, be like, oh, man, so, like, or, like, get like, fame-quick schemes of, like, how can we get super famous and, like, then get super rich by, like, being superheroes?
See, that makes sense for Booster Gold, but, like, that's sad for Blue Beetle because he's legit, like, a superhero. At least, like, one version of him he was.
Mm-hmm.
The actual alien that becomes Blue Beetle that actually, is like, has powers, that's, like, mm-hmm. the better one.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so Booster Gold might be on the way in the near future here. And then also we got some possible news about the Justice League villain, and it might not be who we all are expecting it to be.
Doomsday?
No, not Doomsday.
Two Doomsdays?
No, nope.
And, three Doomsdays.
And not Doomsday, not Darkseid, not anyone else. It's probably going to be Steppenwolf.
Nope.
No idea who the hell Steppenwolf is.
He was so. I think we all watched the like deleted scene from Batman v Superman where like Lex Luthor like has like stalking that weird like alien thing, and he gets like the three like mother boxes or whatever. It's when he's in the pit on the ship, and then like there's like some sort of like hologram of like this like alien they mm-hmm. talking to. That apparently is Steppenwolf.
Yeah, I'm gonna tell you right now, that is not the villain of the Justice League movie.
Mm-hmm.
He might be a villain in the Justice League movie, but after the goddamn reaction to Batman vs Superman, and with what little faith the fans and critics alike are probably having in the DC film universe right now. You better bet your ass that they are smarter. I hope smarter, especially now with Ben Affleck as an executive producer, you know, someone who's actually read a comic book. You better bet that they are not taking any like wild gambles with this. You know what I'm saying? Like they're probably going to cut right to the chase and be like, hey, Steppenwolf is in it. Cool. Great. Whatever. Mm-hmm. But we are fucking setting up Darkseid, and it's like full throttle on this shit. Even if it's part one and two, where Darkseid shows up like towards the end of this and like kind of Shao Kahns it. You know?
That seems like what it's gonna be like. That's what I'm just reading a little bit more. Like it seems like the kind of like rumor or like the speculation is like Darkseid will show up. Like Steppenwolf is gonna be like the main, the quote unquote main villain of part one. And, yeah. And he's like launching it, like he basically leads an invasion of like parademons to Earth, and then like Justice League has to like form to stop them.
That makes sense because we still don't even know they still don't even know who each other are really.
Yeah.
You know? So they have to kind of like team up and be like, "Are we a team?"
And then that's the like whole first arc of like the New 52 Justice League comic.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. And then Darkseid would show up at like briefly in part one, then be like the main focus of part two. So.
Yeah.
Which that makes sense.
It certainly does, and it's just disingenuous for those outlets, though, to be like Steppenwolf is the villain of the Justice League movie. It's like, well,
Justice League Part One.
yeah, yes and no. Let's come on, clickbaiting motherfuckers. Mm-hmm. Like, But that's cool. I mean, they be like we said, they basically show him, right? So, you know, we knew he was coming.
Huh? Yeah. So, other news, just a couple of, like, random, like, new projects for some, awesome action people and, like, action people, some of our favorite people. So, like, Frank Grillo is going to be in The Wheelman, which is Joe Carnahan's upcoming new movie. Which,
nice.
He's a getaway driver who is basically, after bank robbery goes wrong, he's, like, on the run in a car.
I'm trying to think. Is this a TV show? Like,
oh, it's a movie.
Okay. Never heard of it.
No, I mean, I think Joe Carnahan was working on some vehicle movie, but it wasn't like this. It was like some other, like, I thought it was like one where like it was like a some sort of like presidential limo gets like attached or something. This one's coming probably in the near future here. And then Antonio Banderas is going to be in a new movie from Simon West called Salty, and he's going to be a former rock star whose wife gets kidnapped by pirates, and then he's like, I don't really know how to fight or really how anything works, but I'm going to go try to get my wife back.
So it's like Bad Taken.
Yeah, like if Liam Neeson had no skills and he was like a former like rock star.
I feel like this is going straight to DVD, right? Like, there's... the premise is so weak. It's not like he's spending years trying to get his wife back from, like, a pirate king or something. He's just like, oh no, she took her from the yacht. I guess I have to go after them.
It's gonna be like, it'll be like Far Cry 3 or something, where he's like, they have to become, like... He will become like the warrior.
A super warrior soldier guy that unexpectedly is just has all these skills.
I'm super good at killing, apparently.
Like, I'm a maniac with a gun and a knife.
And then there were two like crazy sounding new movies starring Michael Shannon announced this week.
I will find him.
So there's one called Pottersville, which is going to star Ron Perlman, Judy Greer, Tom Lennon, Ian McShane, Christina Hendricks, and Michael Shannon.
Right.
Sitting in a room and talking.
And it's basically like Michael Shannon is like some sort of local, like drunk local, like businessman who like dresses up as a Bigfoot. And then Tom Lennon like hosts like this Monster Hunter like reality show. And they come to this town, and Michael Shannon gets mistaken for Bigfoot, and then hilarity ensues.
That actually sounds pretty sweet.
Yeah,
I thought Ron Perlman would get mistaken for Bigfoot, and Michael Shannon.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. Impress me.
So that's one, and then the other one is called Lucky Logan. It's a new Steven Soderbergh movie, even though he said he retired. I guess he's back.
he's got bills to pay.
Yeah. And so it's Michael Shannon and Channing Tatum as brothers who are trying to pull off a heist during a NASCAR race.
Love it.
So, Michael Shannon and Channing Tatum is, like, rednecks trying to, like, rob a NASCAR race or something. Like,
if it's a comedy, I'm all aboard about this, right? Mm-hmm. But if they want to be a drama about it, I can't take anything with NASCAR serious.
There's no way you can, like, have a heist at a NASCAR race and be, like, a dead serious movie.
Like, what are you stealing at NASCAR? Hot dogs? Like,
they make a lot of money.
Yes.
They make a goddamn ton of money.
Yeah. Like, if you're there trying to, like, scalp tickets, okay, like, that's, I can see, like, a theft there, you know? But it's not like Ocean's 11, there's also, like, a diamond exchange happening at NASCAR.
Maybe. I would be just, like, some crazy, like, just, like, a visiting dignitary or something at the NASCAR race.
There's, like, a super vault at the NASCAR track that, like, they house his diamonds in.
Mm-hmm.
We're adding way more plot to this movie's gonna have.
Yeah, they're, like, listening, taking notes, like, oh, that's not bad.
The Chinese want to get on the NASCAR thing, so they have a special car design, like, stored there. Like, oh, like this is weird shit that, like, you know, I'm just stealing bits of other better movies.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so lots of potentially awesome, potentially crazy movies coming up in the near future here. And then we got some Godzilla news.
Actually, not yes, but
well, we did. Some yes, part yes, part no. But yeah, so Godzilla 2 got delayed this past week. It's going to be coming. I think it was coming 2018, but now it's coming 2019.
This is true.
So it's March 22nd, 2019. And then Godzilla vs. Kong is going to be out May 29th, 2020.
Okay. Not so bad. You know, not so bad. I'm hoping that it's to get everything on the same page and, you know, make it awesome. Not because they're like, shit, we have no idea what to do.
Yeah. We're just going to have a year of just no kaiju, apparently. Like, 2018, we're not going to have any kaiju. Because, like, next year we have Kong, Skull Island. And then, yes, 2019, 2020 for the Godzilla Cinematic Universe.
Mm-hmm. Well, when it does come back, it's going to be in full swing, mm-hmm. right? Because then we'll basically only have to wait a year for King Kong vs. Godzilla.
Yep.
After both movies have been established, you know?
And it looks like, in its old date of June 8th, 2018, it was up against Transformers 6.
Jesus Christ. Christ. Transformers.
So now it's up against some anime movie called Amusement Park.
Well, sorry, Amusement Park.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm rooting for you, but...
So, also some pretty big gaming news this past week. There's a possibly a new Star Wars Battlefront coming next year. It's either going to be a Battlefront 2 or it's going to be like a giant expansion, but it's going to feature content from the new movies, quote unquote, which is if that's just Force Awakens and Rogue One or if it's going to be like prequel stuff, but it was very vague about what is actually going to be in this new thing.
Like, if it's an expansion pack, that's a smart move. But if it's like a full Battlefront game, like that, I feel
Battlefront so, I 2, feel... the Force Awakens,
the full game,
yeah, the new trilogy.
Because I'm like that game like made back all its marketing. It wasn't like a hot sell. You know
I was reading on Kotaku that like. The PC audience is like there's like 2,000 active players or something now. It's like the PC part of the game is basically dead.
That's not good. Like usually if it's balanced, like that's not bad. Mm. But if it's one sided to consoles, like consoles for multiplayer drop out faster than like PC people.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not a good sign.
No. Yeah, I haven't had any trouble like finding like it's not like I have to, like, wait, like, long to find a match. Like, usually matches pop right up on the PS4, so... I think there's still people playing on consoles, so... And they're still, like... They've only done one of their, like, three Season Pass releases, so...
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, it's not a good sign when the Season Pass isn't even over, and people are just, like, don't care anymore.
Well, Season Pass is, like, way too expensive, like...
It's two games.
Yeah, Yeah, you're paying the cost of two games, but you're getting, like, not even you're getting half a game, maybe, with the season pass, but...
It'd be really, really shitty of EA, but it'd be, like, a move I could see and just laugh at, is that, like, halfway through the last part of the season pass, you get, like, they drop the Battlefront 2, like, full edition with, like, the new trilogy content.
Yeah.
You could play as Rey, you're like, ah!
They'll probably be the heroes of the new game, like Kylo Ren and
BB-8.
Yes, BB-8 is like the best perk you can get.
Well, who are we kidding? An expansion you can buy. This is EA.
Mm-hmm.
You know, free perk. Fuck you.
I'm sure
DLC perk.
There'll probably be something.
Hey,
at E3, I'm sure they'll probably announce something. What the hell this is? Probably.
it's funny because they announce like Battlefront stuff, but then people lose their shit about Battlefield, and it's like, this is all by the same company, people.
Speaking of which, Battlefield 1 got announced this past week, which is a steampunk alternate history World War 1 game.
Is it all right? I thought it was just like,
yeah, it's there was no like mechs and like armor, people running around in armor World War 1.
Oh, no, that was supposed to be like, that was Guerrilla Together as a thing. Like, they're not going for accuracy where it's like, oh, like it was around this time, like that was just something they had.
No, this is like full on crazy, like this is almost like Warhammer or something, like where it's like none of this existed in World War One. This is not.
No, I read it as like a lot of the tech there was just things from the last 10 years prior or like 2 years after. So it was just like mashing it together. You know what I mean? Like, it's like the weaponry existed because no one has like a fucking like machine gun that from like today. You know what I mean? But all the shit back then is like things that they had that they modified to kind of be faster or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think they literally said it was an alternate history. So
really?
Yes.
Okay. I read it as if it's like, well, like what if one guy did show up the field in fucking like a suit of armor? Like, okay, like it'd be weird, but like it looks cool. I don't know, but the Lawrence Arabia stuff is kind of like the part where I'm like, okay, that has to be kind of accurate. Like, did you look at the other detail where the first DLC pack is like Lawrence of Arabia?
Like alternate history Lawrence of Arabia? Yeah.
No, it's like you actually get the Lawrence of Arabia like weapons and like the looks from his platoon, mm-hmm. apparently. And it's just like, was he going to lose this battle? Like, I don't know. Whoa, it's like it's great that they're not depicting just trench warfare. Like they're actually leading up like to the small battles leading to World War and like the other side that the American history just doesn't teach. You know, like the Lawrence or like the like England campaigns and stuff like that we just like forget happened.
Oh, I guess there's an update. I was like, because I just loaded up the actual like Kotaku article and it's like. It is a realistic World War One. They're not doing any. It's not altered history.
No, that's okay. What I'm saying. Like it's not.
I didn't see the update. Like I just no, the first guy. That's what I'm saying. The first popped up because like the cover's like a guy with a fucking like cape with like a mace and stuff.
Yeah,
and
it was just, it's that. That's like an African soldier that like is part of the North African front missions. Yeah. But like that's what I'm saying. Like that happened. It's just no one talks about it in America. Mm-hmm. And then they're using weaponry that was used as either like sporting weapons, like wasn't military weapons. It was like things people hunt like elephants with.
Yeah.
You know, shit like that they're like, well, we'll modify it. And like it exists in the timeline, but just, it wouldn't be like something mass produced so that you can get wacky ass weapons that like look stupid. Like, you know, it looks cool, but it would be like really not practical during like a war battle, you know?
I found this old blunderbuss in my house.
Yeah, it's just like that. You would never want to bring that to battle, like especially when like I think at that point for tech, like we just made automatic weapons as like a standard.
Well, they were using like crank. We're still using like crank machine guns, I think.
Yeah. Well, I'm talking about like the infield, like the British one that has like the banana clip thing.
Yeah,
like that was just like the standard. Just. Then, you know what I mean? Like, they made enough, but then you got, like, wacky-ass weapons that I'm like, that's, like, a airplane gun. Like, that's not, you can't just walk around with that.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But yeah, it's gonna be out on October 21st, and yeah, I think like, Xbox, like, paid, like, a bunch of, like, marketing money, so it's gonna be, like, owning an Xbox, or first an Xbox, or whatever, so.
It's because.
Whatever, on Xbox.
Yeah.
Because, like, I think, whatchamacallit, like, since Call of Duty got the PS4 exclusive, Xbox mm-hmm. got the Battlefield 1 exclusive.
Yeah.
It makes no difference to Battlefield, though, because it's, like, PC is going to be the one that's going to beat them in the end anyway.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, probably the biggest gaming news this past week was that Disney has shut down their entire gaming publishing, publishing side. So... Disney Infinity is canceled.
Because what?
Because the Infinity is infinite now.
Because it made money, but not enough money.
Uh-huh. Bye.
They shut down their Avalanche studio, which was basically the studio making Disney Infinity. That's completely dead. And they're just gonna license the Disney properties to other studios to make games there's no more internal Disney studios.
Well, I mean, that makes a lot of sense financially for them, but I didn't know they were in trouble. You know, I thought they were
I don't think Disney Infinity was in trouble. It was just like, it's like they're making X amount of money. We expected it to make X amount of money. So, and we can, if we put our money into the, like, Y, we'll make much, well, like, make a, get a much more higher investment, like return on investment or something. So,
yeah, I think
fancy math.
I think they were aiming that they were going to be like some powerhouse thing, but they were competing against like four different products.
Yeah, I think I think the, like, the toy games got like just like they all just like flooded each other. Yeah.
Skylanders, the Lego Dimension,
Amiibo.
Although
Amiibo is like, I guess, like, I don't know what percentage of like Nintendo's profits is, but it's some crazy amount of Nintendo's profits from like the last quarter or whatever.
Oh, it skyrocketed.
It's like 10% of their overall profit or something. Like, it's some ridiculous amount.
It's just weird. Like, Amiibos is DLC. Like, you kind of need them for certain perks in games. So it's like, no one noticing that. Like, they just made DLC something you can hold.
No one really cares about the like game perks. I think everyone, it's all just like crazy insane collectors.
Okay. Well, people, I think they try to do that with Disney Infinity stuff, but then they just like didn't care.
Mm-hmm. I kind of want to know if like they're just gonna like, if like when it like totally shuts down, if they're just like slashing the price of all Disney Infinity stuff.
Oh, they've been doing that.
I would probably buy some Disney Infinity figures that were like, it's like five for a dollar. We gotta get rid of them.
Like, I heard in the game, like, you can't bring you can't bring new toys to the old games. That's why you always have to keep upgrading the game to play with that toy.
You can only go up.
Yeah. So, it's, like, this really weird, like, thing where, like, I think Skylanders, you could just, they don't care. They're just, like, whatever.
Yeah. But, yeah, so, there's gonna be, so the last two packs for Disney Infinity are gonna be, Alice through the Looking Glass and Finding Dory, and then that is it for Disney Infinity packs. No more Marvel packs, no more Star Wars packs. Like, so yeah. So
damn.
Moving on to other news. There's going to be an Andre the Giant biopic coming in the near future here.
Of course.
Which 100%. Yeah, because like, Andre the Giant's life was crazy.
Redonkulous.
Yeah. Like there was, there's always, like that one, like, bit where, like when you're, like, when he's, like, drinking, like, a beer, like...
Yeah.
Like, forget, like, yeah, it was, like...
He drank, like, 30 beers or something.
Yeah, and, like, and the can, like the cans just disappeared into his hand, like, it just, like, it's like in his hand, looks like a little, like, toy. Like a toy beer can.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. I think, let's see.
Is it, like, a serious biopic, or is it, like, Adam Sandler is Andre the Giant?
Yeah. Well, so...
I'm a crazy giant.
So, there was, like, a comic, of like his life from like Lion Forge Comics. Mm-hmm. So it was like just like a biographical like story about Andre the Giant, and so that comic is gonna be like kind of the basis for this new movie.
Okay, I could do that.
And Andre the Giant's daughter is gonna be like overseeing everything.
I think that was announced at Comic-Con.
I think it was.
I kind of remember that panel where just like, come meet Andre the Giant's daughter, and mm-hmm. just like, she has slight gigantism too, so it's like, whoa. Yeah, it's just like, blah, and like the first 30 questions were like
are you okay?
Yeah, like they were just like really like weird questions directed at her. She's like,
so anyway, my dad.
Yeah. I mean, hey, that's cool that Andre the Giant like is a survived like all this other, even though like there's other things, like they still come back and try to like you know, bring him to legend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It all comes down to casting, really.
Yeah, like live
big action. Show. Do it.
Yeah. Yeah, especially if it's live action, like, because if it's based on a comic, they probably could do like an animated movie. But like, yeah, live action, like, who could play Andre?
It's like Kevin Hart is like, oh no,
The Rock is Andre the Giant.
Because you need, I mean, Andre the Giant. Did he have a fro when he was younger?
Oh yeah.
Trying to think.
Oh, he had a fro.
Like Andy Samberg. Just like CGI his whole body.
Just do like weird like CG like Arnold in like Terminator Salvation with like
yeah.
A CG Andre the Giant.
Yep.
Hey, you don't know. They might.
Mm-hmm. They did for Bruce Lee in that like Ip Man 3 or whatever.
Yeah.
But they CGI Bruce Lee.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and then like then Donnie Yen fought like Mike Tyson or something, or like CG Bruce Lee fought Mike Tyson or something. It was Ip Man 3 was purely insane. But yeah, also this week we got our new Zorro for, I think there's a couple of Zorro movies coming or like in development, but the one called Z from Jonas Cuarón, who is the brother of Alfonso Cuarón. It's going to be Gael Garcia Bernal, who is in the Amazon show Mozart in the Jungle. He was in, like, Babel and Motorcycle Diaries.
Cool.
And I think, I'm trying to remember if this is, like, the, like, because I remember there's one of the like Zorro movies was gonna be like this like crazy future Zorro or something.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, I think this one is just like kind of like a standard like new reboot Zorro.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah,
if anyone was wondering.
Yeah. And yeah, Jonas Cuarón is a, I mean. I think he wrote most of Alfonso's movies, and then, like, they basically co-produce them together, so they've got some talent.
Yeah.
I think Alfonso was, like, producing this one, too, so.
Nothing wrong with that, I tell you what.
Mm-hmm. And Gael Garcia Bernal is actually in, Jonas Cuarón has a movie called Deserto out this year. So he's also in that one, so that's probably how that whole Zorro thing came about.
Of course, of course.
And then also got some news about Krypton over at Sci-Fi that got greenlit for a pilot. So the we're going to see probably at least one episode of the crazy thousands of years in the before Superman Krypton show.
Did you love the first 10 minutes of Man of Steel?
No.
If that's the case, you're going to mildly enjoy Krypton.
Yeah.
Or something. Fuck you.
Do you have unsolved questions about Man of Steel? Well, get confused again.
Probably,
filthy nerds.
Unfortunately, probably we're not going to get like Russell Crowe killing people or like Michael Shannon yelling at people or anything, so...
It's probably gonna be like another scientist who's just like checking the core temperature or something like that.
It's planet's getting awful hot.
It's Superman's grandfather. That guy who no one talks about.
Oh yeah.
L-Rel, like
that person.
L-Ron Hubbard.
L-Ron L.
And David Goyer is I think he wrote it or he's producing it or both, so
I have so many questions for that man. Like, when does he have the... Where has he find the time to write this down?
Well, most of the stuff he's come up with has been pretty not good lately. Maybe there's the answer. Maybe settle on one project and give it, you know, more than 10 minutes of your attention.
Yeah.
You know? Shit. Blade 2 was a long time ago.
So, so I'm not sure when this one is coming out. It be like, I'd say probably next year on Sci-Fi. So,
So we have some time.
Yeah. We're going to get a ton of TV news next week because the upfronts are starting next week. So, like, trailers for all the new shows, plus all the shows that are going to get canceled or renewed. So stay tuned for that next week. And then last bit of news for this week is that we got some X-Men news. The next X-Men movie after Apocalypse in a few weeks here is going to be set in the 90s. So they're continuing that, like, we're just going to jump ahead a decade trend since they've been doing it since First Class. So
whatever.
Hopefully, if it's in the 90s, they just, like, all of them are just in their costumes from the animated show. Yes.
Let's just adapt, like, the first three episodes of that show into a movie. Yep. Would that be so hard?
And then just
complete the whole Morph saga.
Yep.
Yeah.
And just throw, like, all the worst, but, like, awesomely worst, like, 90s X-Men characters in there.
Yeah.
All the extreme ones. Like, I think there's literally a character called Adam the Extreme who, like, he wore rollerblades, and, like, it was just like, he's like edgy and like I might kill people, maybe not, but I'm extreme. Maybe I'll
spray paint my name on this wall.
Yeah.
Do people graffiti anymore that isn't like Banksy? Like, I'm thinking, like, no one really graffitis anymore.
Yeah. You just do it in a gallery and, like, make millions of dollars. But so 90s X-Men coming soon. And then we also got official confirmation that Wolverine 3 is R-rated. That is 100%.
It's R-rated,
yes.
Comical, and it's Deadpool 2.
Yes.
I guess it's a joke.
Still no confirmation about if it's actually Old Man Logan, but that's, like, pretty much, like, it's, like, it's pretty much sure at this point that it's going to be Old Man Logan. They said it's like a Western set in the future, so. Which, I don't know what else that could be besides Old Man Logan. Which, that would make sense as, like, the, like, Hugh Jackman send-off movie. Like,
yeah, but, like, Old Man Logan makes sense as an alternate tale, not like, and it's, like, Thursday, Logan's just walking around. Like, come on, there's so many alternate X-Men passes and futures that, like, Old Man Logan works best as an alternate future where, like, the world went to shit.
Mm-hmm.
Because, have you been reading the Old Man Logan, like, comic series?
I just read the original one. Like, the original series. Like, I didn't read, like, the Secret Wars one or anything like that.
There's one where, like, yeah, like, it's just his, what happens after that. And then it's, like, how it gets transported to the mainstream timeline.
Mm-hmm.
And then even then, they're like, once we reboot all of this, I think young Logan's gonna wake up from his, like, cocoon.
Burst out of that adamantium cocoon.
Yeah. Because I don't think new Wolverine's doing well.
X-23 Wolverine?
Yeah, I don't think she... it's not as popular.
Well, Wolverine... like, even, like, the Wolverine that had Logan in it was not very popular in, like, recent years.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think anyone really cared about the Wolverine solo book.
I thought it was pretty good, like, in the early 2000s. When it was, like, gritty, and he just did, like... he didn't fight mutants a lot. He actually solved a lot of, like, crime. Like, gang crimes.
Mm-hmm.
So, he was, like, the Punisher, but he would get his ass kicked constantly. But he coming back. That's weird. I don't know. I kind of liked it when X... not his son. Whatever his name was.
Daken or whatever.
Daken, yeah. When he became, like, sort of the Wolverine.
Dark Wolverine or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't like it when he was Secret Wars. Dark Avengers Wolverine. I liked it better when he was just, like, walking around, like, solving Native American crimes or something like that. I wish I was joking. He would just, like just patrol the border towns of Native American settlements. And that was it. That's all he did.
Actually, so there was actually another bit of news that I forgot to, because it was like breaking right before we started. But
lay it on me
for the Jumanji reboot, which I think we talked about last week, that The Rock and Kevin Hart are officially on board for that. Nice. Jack Black is also on board as well, so it's gonna be The Rock, Kevin Hart, and Jack Black.
Shit. Well, that sounds pretty sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone?
Yeah.
Does anyone have an opinion?
I wonder if he's going to play, like, are they going to play as, like, three grown men playing Jumanji? Or are they playing, like, kids that, or, like, start out as kids and then, like, eventually get sucked in and become men? Or, like, I'm trying to figure out, like, the premise, why are they here?
Yeah.
You know? Or is it going to be, like, kind of racist where, like, it's two black kids that, like, get sucked in and then they spent the whole, like, 20 years in the jungle being chased by Jack Black trying to hunt them like they do in Jumanji would, you know? Because I'm saying, like, how much of a reboot is this?
I don't know, but we're going to find out.
And apparently, according to The Rock, there might be two more, like, of his quote-unquote movie star buddies showing up that'll fill out the cast. So it's gonna be like, the main cast is going to be, like, five guys, and the three of them are already cast. So there's, like, two more people possibly showing up. It could,
I'm just thinking,
could literally be anyone. I don't know. Because The Rock probably could, like, call anyone he wanted.
Diesel? Yes, Diesel showing up?
Yeah.
Like, here's another thing about Jumanji. The cast is, like, six people, I think. Really, there's, like, not a lot of people in that movie.
Yeah. And, actually, and then Chris Van Allsburg, who wrote the book, was actually executive producing the movie. So it might be, I don't know how you, like, closer to the book, which...
Wait, there was a book?
Yes, Chris, that's the whole point.
I thought Jumanji was based on, like, the game. That was,
the,
like...
The game that exists in the book, that was created for the book.
Hmm.
Jumanji the game is, like, Turbo Man. Like, for them, though, basically...
What a great analogy.
Like, that Jumanji game that came out, that was in, like, all the stores, like, that was from the movie, but that, like, didn't exist without the book.
Okay, because then, like, Zerurtha came out, that was, like, Space
Jumanji?
Yeah,
that was also a book.
Okay.
By the same guy.
Wow, this guy really loves fucking with kids and, like, board games.
Mm-hmm.
This guy loves books.
Yeah.
Nerd.
So, yeah, so we'll probably probably get some more crazy casting in the next couple weeks here on Jumanji.
It's terrible, man. I just, like, wait a minute.
Your whole worldview is shattered now.
Yeah, totally.
Anywho, so that's it for news this week. So why don't we jump into show and tell? And Joe, what are you watching?
I got nothing.
You got nothing? Okay.
I saw Ultron. I saw Civil War.
Yes, yeah. We all saw Civil War.
Yeah.
We have an hour and a half long review cast up on the site right now. You can go check out. So download that, and you can hear all our thoughts about Spider-Man and the comic and Black Panther and all that awesome stuff. So.
Yes.
Spoiler, it's awesome.
Yes. We thoroughly enjoyed
it. It might be the best Marvel movie ever made, but we're still trying to figure it. We're still trying to sort that out, but it's up there. It's like it's top five, maybe top three, maybe number one.
Yeah, the more I think about it, I mean, I need to see it again, but I really do think it might be number one for me.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that wouldn't make it number one, as we said, was that the first Avengers was so, like, symbolic of, like, it's really happening!
Mm-hmm.
You know? But other than that, anyway, yeah, loved Civil War and all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then just catching up on TV, man.
Yep.
That's pretty much it. Arrow, Flash, the Suck Twins. just no bueno, man. Not good. Gotham is a shit show, but at least I expect that from Gotham. You know, like, I watch Gotham and I'm like, okay, it's getting better. I watch Arrow and Flash. I'm like, I expect that from Gotham, but I don't expect it from you.
Did you watch this week's Flash, Joe? That was the Kevin Smith episode?
That was on last night. No, I missed that. I still need to catch up on that, but I did watch Arrow from the most recent Arrow.
I think the 24 episode long seasons, like, really hurt both those shows. Yeah. If they were both like 13 episodes, they would be like probably like
Yeah, lean and mean.
Focused and done. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because there's so much, there's like, especially in the middle of both those seasons, like there's just so much filler of like, well, we kind of just gotta do some stuff until the end of the season here.
Yeah. Yeah, not great.
Let's just fight like a random dude, let's fight a random dude, or like just kind of do nothing for this week.
Yeah.
So, did you see anything, Chris?
I did. Besides Civil War, I caught Cradle to the Grave.
Yes, good movie. The classic.
The classic, Jet Li and a black guy team up and do things.
That was a genre in like the early 2000s.
Romeo Must Die.
Yep.
Never Die Alone.
That was a DMX movie, but
yeah, he's a black guy. You know?
Well, it was like this weird pairing where it's like opposite people. Yeah. One of them has to be black. Like, that was the thing in the early 2000s, especially with the genre. Even Half Past Dead is like that.
It's either DMX or Ja Rule. For someone. Yeah.
And Cradle to the Grave is about a heister, like a weird thief that can just steal things, like very complex things, and played by DMX with this crew of just, like, cliches.
Mm-hmm.
And he steals these, what he thinks are like black diamonds, but are actually like dangerous weapons that he doesn't know. But for some, like, he's like also like a jewel thief. So he should know like what he stole wasn't like jewelry. It was something that like, if you crack open is like super radioactive apparently. So I was really confused about like the MacGuffin of the movie is that he has a sack of these like dangerous weapons that if you just easily like can punch it, it can like fucking destroy you. So he stole a whole bunch of those and gets like chased after by this organization that wants it back, and then Jet Li shows up to intervene, and turns out Jet Li's like a Chinese like super agent or something like that. That is there for like to track down the other guy and his group that actually want like owns the weapons from DMX. So, in very complicated steps, DMX like has to befriend Jet Li and like they team up together. But then DMX's daughter gets kidnapped by Chairman Kaga's like nephew. Because what's his face in this movie?
Mark Dacascos,
yeah. I mean, it's cool to see him actually like do
karate.
Hey, you're
the crow, shut up.
Yeah, it's like it's cool to see Mark Dacascos do things that isn't like Double Dragon related or Iron Chef. But it was like right after this, he went to go do Iron Chef because he did not like have another like he didn't have a fighting movie after this.
No,
but and then I got. Random scene, Tom Arnold shows up because Tom Arnold's in this production, whatever.
He was in a lot of like early 90s movies just as like random Tom Arnold.
Yeah, well, you know? It's an early 2000 movie, like just like
sued
in the dirt like, for Roseanne.
Like a scene from Cradle of
Grave. Hey guys, it's me.
A scene from Cradle of Grave is like, whoops, this isn't True Lies.
Yeah,
it's like his character from True Lies, and it's like not needed, but it's appreciated because he's in enough scenes where it's like, Tom Arnold, but then it's like he's just gone and then come back again. I was like, hey, I still got a paycheck and lunch from this, so it's like, all right, like hang out, film some scenes. But I feel like the Cradle to the Grave, Half Past Dead, Romeo Must Die was all done within like that same like
10-year
span.
It was like 2 years and then it was over.
When like R&B and like martial arts was a thing, like that was just like fusing together.
Because Wu-Tang Clan was too dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they weren't like kid friendly enough yet.
Did Cradle to the Grave have X gonna give it to you, or was that Romeo Must Die?
That was Romeo Must Die. Both had it.
Again. It's an awesome song.
I think X can give it to you and like Up in Here. Up in Here was here.
Yeah.
Cradle to the Grave, especially because that plays during the biker scene when DMX escapes on a fucking ATV. Like through a mall.
Contractually obligated to play whenever
you're on screen. It basically becomes like a DMX music video when he escapes and he like drives cars. So I'm like, okay. Like, it's funny to see DMX in this because I think like 2 years later after this, he went to jail. So for like doing his crazy like drug binge and then impersonating a federal officer.
Really, so I was trying to see DMX.
Yeah.
Driving into an airport and being like, I'm a federal marshal. They're like, no, you're not. You're DMX. All right, I'm DMX. Agent DMX.
But you know what I mean? Like, I was trying to see, like, where is the glimmer of that crazy?
Yeah.
And, you know what I'm saying? For a rapper turn actor turn, like, criminal, rapper like, yeah, like, not bad. You know what I mean? Like, I thought, like, okay, like, where can DMX go from here? Like, maybe he could do, like, a family comedy so he's not always, like, this gruffy guy wearing ill-fitted clothes.
The Ice Cube route.
Yeah, like, who's the next Ice Cube, like, yeah, I'm hard, I'm also, I like a paycheck, and I can act. I took an acting class, like, you know?
You know what's gangster? Residuals.
And paying my taxes.
Yeah.
Just shit like that. I'm like, all right, like, DMX, I like to admit, like, you know, he could have gone places in his acting. It's not great acting, but, I mean, I got the gist, and, like, it's funny to watch him, like, trying to throw punches at Jet Li. But he's, like, in this movie, he, like, wanted to, he's like, oh, when we fight, I can't lose all the time. Like, okay, like, you guys have standstills.
Mr. X. Yeah.
All right, we'll just tie Jet's arms behind his back.
Yeah, we'll just shoot him in the kneecaps.
Yeah. Because I think, like, that's why in the next movie he was in with Steven Seagal.
Are you thinking of, because Half Past Dead was Ja Rule?
No, there was a movie with Steven Seagal and DMX. Yeah. You remember it now, right?
What was it like? Not Cradle to the Grave. Fucking, God damn it.
Like, I forgot too, but it's like right after this.
Everyone runs. I don't know. Something like that.
I don't know. Let's take a look at it. But like, it's
something where you can say like Steven Seagal is, and then
yeah. It's gonna really bother me now.
Yeah,
because I used to say it like all the time. Oh, exit wounds.
Yeah. Exit wounds.
This doesn't fit though, because like Steven Seagal is exit wounds. That doesn't make sense.
No, it makes sense.
It was like it's okay. So it's a weird thing about the movie where like it's like it's like the transitive property where it's like DMX, Jet Li, and Romeo Must Die. Like then it's Jet Li, DMX. DMX, Steven Seagal, Ja Rule. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's was weird. Yep. Like, two guys always pass each other and they all partner up.
So it's basically like, hey, I can't film this movie. I'm busy. Do you want to film a movie? Yes, I do. And they all just happen to have, like, the same four people in it.
Yeah. Okay, so Exit Wounds came out before. Yeah. So
yeah, Exit Wounds was the first. It was the first of those, like, types of movies. And I was like, hey, this is a great formula.
Yeah. Wow. He did the soundtrack for Romeo Must Die, Exit Wounds, Cradle to the Grave. Jesus.
The DMX was the baddest motherfucker on earth between 2001 and 2003. You need to understand that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Romeo Must Die was the first one to like start it all. Then it was Exit Wounds. Then it was Cradle to the Grave. And then it was that like Half Past Dead or whatever it was.
Yeah, Half Past Dead is when it was like...
I think that was the end. Yeah.
This is done
and,
now.
And it would Ja Rule.
Yeah.
Like, I think Half Past Dead was... And then Ja Rule had no career like after it.
When you have Steven Seagal as a Russian undercover agent in like New Alcatraz, like I think...
Anytime you have a movie with New Alcatraz...
Yep.
What happened to Old Alcatraz? That's New Alcatraz. Just shut
up. Did you know that there was a Half Past Dead 2?
Yep.
I sure did.
I did not know that.
Some was somehow not starring Steven Seagal.
Yeah, I thought for sure he would have been like, hell yeah, I'm in. You know?
But yeah, definitely worth to catch, like, this... Like, if you're a Jet Li fan, to watch Bizarre Jet Li, like, I guess, like...
Just, America has no clue how to use Jet Li.
Yeah, it's just they don't know how to dress him or make him act. Because he's just, like, standing in a room full of, like, black thieves. And he's kind of like, yeah, I'm used to this. This is cool, right? Like, what?
I am totally comfortable right now.
It was just, yeah, because, like, all, like, early 2000 Jet Li movies are just crazy. Like, The One and, like, Cradle to the Grave and We Must Die and, like...
Because he's, like, a fully grown man who just, like, is forced to be with these actors. And he's just like, why am I punching and throwing kicks while, like, they all have guns?
Kick, monkey, kick.
And, like, I don't know, like, there's some cool fight scenes. None of it, which I'm referencing, is, like, DMX related, but a lot of it is kind of like, or watch Jet Li do things while DMX is in the background, like, driving ATV or, like, crashing cars.
Yeah, those were also crazy, like, with wire work and CG stuff, too, right?
Yep.
It was like, yeah.
All early 2000 movies were like,
yeah. Well, but I mean, these especially were kind of like, wow, everything has a backflip before or after it.
That yeah, there's a lot of that. Jet Li would like leap two stories, backflip, and then like dive kick someone.
Just to kick someone in the balls.
DMX like backflips off a four wheeler for no reason.
Yeah, everyone in this movie has like a background in gymnastics.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm surprised Tom Arnold didn't do a backflip, like, onto a tank.
Are we sure he doesn't?
Like, there is a tank that shows up, but, like, he has a backflip on it. At least not in my edition. Maybe the director's cut. Well, that's it for me. What about you, Zach?
I didn't watch too much. For TV, I saw the season finale of The Grindr, which might be the series finale. We don't know until probably next week, but hopefully not. It was pretty great. It was, like, just tripling down on the meta-ness. Like, they went back, they threw back to the first episode of the series, and then, because in the episode title was called Full Circle, so they went full circle back to the first episode, and then...
I get it.
Yeah, and then just, like, a really crazy wrap-up to, like, because they've been doing, like, this, like, last, like, four or five episodes, they've been doing, like, this, like, serialized story about the the case against Dean Sr. So that was pretty great. Hopefully that gets renewed. And then I watched the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is they're trying to tie into Civil War.
Oh, God.
Which was all, like, it was just, like, it was okay, because it's basically, like, there's, like, the news about the Sokovia Accords. Now it's, like, Adrian Pastar shows up, who is General Talbot on the show, but also the, like, animated Iron Man. And he's kind of, like, working with Coulson as, like, he heads up the ATCU, which is, like, the alien task force that's got set up to, like find humans. And then, basically, like, he shows up and is like, all right, Coulson, you gotta, like, all your Inhumans have to, like, sign the Sokovia Accords. and then it was, like, 20 minutes of, like, Coulson and him debating, like, registration acts and stuff. So it's basically, like, it was just...
It got political.
Hey, did you just see Civil War? See it again.
Mm-hmm.
With characters you don't care about as much,
and it was like they haven't mentioned like any characters, like they haven't mentioned like Cap or Iron Man or anyone for, like, the whole season. It's just like this episode is like, oh my god, did you hear about Captain America? Also Iron Man. Also Peggy Carter died. Also it's just like
so many things.
Yeah.
All the things.
Everything's happening. Anyway, back to our Inhumans story. So it was an okay tie-in. Like it was. Definitely not as good as, like, the Winter Soldier tie-in, which was, like, five episodes prior to and then, like, a couple episodes afterwards. Because, like, that, like, Winter Soldier, like, saved Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. from, like, Oblivion.
Yeah.
Because it was fucking awful, and then, like, Winter Soldier showed up, and it was, like, that movie was so good that, like, it made Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. better. But it's, like, being in, like, the vicinity of it. But I think the Age of Ultron tie-in was probably better last year, too, because it was, like... The Age of Ultron at the time for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was actually kind of cool, where, like, they found, like, the S.H.I.E.L.D. was the ones who found, like, the bases for Hydra. So, like, they attacked one in the episode, and then, like, that led to, like, the Avengers attacking the second one in the beginning of the movie.
Right.
So, yeah, but definitely, they're all better than that Thor: The Dark World tie-in. That was, like, one of the worst things I've ever seen.
We gotta sweep up this mess.
Yep, that was literally what happened. They showed up and, like, man, Thor made a mess. We have to clean it up now. And then other TV stuff. And then I played a couple of games. I played the last episode of the Walking Dead Michonne miniseries from Telltale, which was my only complaint is like it's like every episode is like the shortest episode they've ever done. Like the whole thing, like every episode is like maybe like an hour and a half at the most. So you could play all three episodes in the time it takes to like play like one regular episode of a Telltale game.
Yeah, that's kind of good and bad at times.
Yeah, but I think like the story wise, it's great. as usual. There's like a lot of like the usual like horrible decision you have to make of like someone's gonna get killed. Pick who needs to die.
We made it. We had a joke. We kill the other person.
Yeah. Or is it really like because kind of the whole overarching story is like Michonne left Rick and the group in the comics. It's set between like certain issues of the comic. So she left Rick, and then she became like a crew member on this like sailboat, and they basically find this like town that's basically all these like boats tied together. So it's like this like town of boats, and then
it's like Waterworld,
kinda, yeah. And then they kind of get into like it's sort of like there's like a kind of like a like the governor running it or something, where it's like they have to, like they kind of like run afoul of the person running this like town, and then they have to, like kind of like fight their way out. So, and then I think what they did with like the way like the button prompts come up for like the QuickTime events. So like, which is like Telltale Games, right? It's dialogue and then there's like QuickTime action events. That's the two things that happen in those games. Like they changed up the way it looks. So it's a lot more like cinematic, where like it's not just like on like a corner of the screen. It's like press this button now. It's like dynamic to like what's happening on the screen. So like, it's like an X, but it's like an X, like, coming off of like the action, so it's like kind of like incorporated into the action more. So it like that stuff is probably the coolest it's ever been in a Telltale game.
That's good. I mean, they're changing up the formula, so not every game plays the same. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, hopefully all the games going forward have that kind of like this like style of like the QuickTime events, because it's like it's definitely like, it's much more cinematic and cool.
Imagine when the Batman game comes out, it's gonna be like a whole new engine for that, and hopefully, it's basically gonna be like it's gonna be like a really watered down version of like Arkham Asylum, where like you see all the buttons instead of like the controller, like, you know, like how it's like more of a rhythm game, Arkham Asylum, maybe. The fighting. It's just like what we play.
Didn't they say it's gonna be more like they're gonna go
more do more detective side?
Stuff. Yeah.
Well, come on, you can't have a Batman game where he doesn't throw a punch.
Oh yeah, he'll throw a punch. It's gonna be like it'll be quick time events.
Yeah, they just have to choose to make him throw the punch.
Yeah. Do you want him in the face or the nuts? Punch.
Hit him in the face nuts. What? Yeah.
Face nuts.
Do you want
to call those eyeballs. I call it face nuts.
Do you want to stab him with this batarang or like shoot him with a grappling hook?
I'm going to break his arm or break his leg.
Break his dick. What? No, nothing.
Do you want to blow up his car causing... shoot the car and not kill them, but then you're also killing them?
What do you want to tell Jim after this?
Pick what you want to say to Alfred.
Nothing. I don't really want to talk.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if there's an option to become like All-Star Batman, where it's just like insane.
Go on a murderous rampage. Yes, yeah.
Like every dialogue option, there's just like the All-Star option.
Yell at Robin.
It's just I'm the goddamn Batman every time. Like, there's always an option to say I'm the goddamn Batman.
Belittle those around you.
Yeah.
Go on an insane rant. Yell into the blank night sky.
So yeah, so play Michonne, and then also I played through all three prior Uncharted games to get ready for Uncharted 4.
Nice.
Yeah, those games are still the first trilogy on PS3 is still amazing. The first one is, I mean, definitely the weakest, just because like they were still trying to figure things out. Have you guys played all three, or like what did you play?
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Like the end of Uncharted 1, where like you have to like fight like the crazy whatever those creatures are. That is like the worst. Because it's like they throw like 30 of them at you, and you have like a terrible like MP40 old like
you have like a revolver,
yeah.
A piece of bubble gum. Like, god damn it.
And they're just like they're just relentless, and it's like, and then it's like, now fight those things plus guys with guns. So like, yeah.
Well, the overall shooting mechanics in the first game too were pretty questionable. Where it's like, there they are. Hold on, let me just find aim and.
The worst part about number one is the jet ski mandatory jet ski battles.
Yes.
Where you couldn't move and shoot at the same time.
Nope.
You just sit there and then like get hit by a barrel.
Well, if you're like super cheap, you like edge closely to like the section just to see ahead and just fire your gun before you even enter into that.
Yep.
Chris, not to get all dramatic on you, but remember we played through that whole game in like one epic night.
Yeah.
That was pretty great. I think that was the way to do it.
Mm-hmm. You know? If you took a break and played it, like, you would get bored between, like, you'd just be like, I would rather do something else. But we force ourselves just to see the story, just so you talk about, like, the gold of Marco Polo, whatever. Bullshit. No,
it's pretty as shit, too. I mean, Jesus.
Oh, very pretty game.
It still holds up, I think, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, we were just making fun of it for, like, half the time.
The thing with the first one, too, is, like, it looks amazing, but it's kind of just all set on the island, so it's like kind of it's sort of similar. And then 2 and 3 just blow it up with like you're going all you are globetrotting, yes,
yeah.
And just like when 2 starts out with like you in like the fucking like dangling train,
that was really.
And
sweet.
Then the level later where like you're actually fighting on the train is like probably one of the best levels ever in a video game.
Yeah, Uncharted 2 is just a pretty gnarly fucking game, top to bottom, I would have to say.
Only thing about that one, too, is, like, the end is also kind of weak in that one, where you, like, because you have to fight those, like, fucking guardians of, like, Shangri-La, who are, like, Hulks.
Brutal. That was terrible. They're, like, Danzig monsters.
Yep.
Like, what the fuck is this bullshit?
Yeah.
I was like, can't it just be, like, bad people with, like, weird interests? Can it be other people who want gold? God damn it. Monsters. The fuck?
The monsters who ate, like, the weird, like, sap that makes you invincible, but then if you drink too much, I guess you turn into, like, a blue Hulk.
Yeah.
And 3 is pretty much 2 again, but 2, I mean, 2 is one of the best games ever made, so it's like...
Yeah. Oh, I definitely wasn't complaining. I was like, I feel like I've played this before, but, I mean, I'll play it again.
And 3 has some amazing stuff, like the cargo plane level in 3, where you're dangling off the plane.
Yeah. Oh, tremendous.
But the weird thing, like playing that back to back, like I noticed, like 2 and 3 basically end the exact same way, where you just have to escape from the crumbling city.
Yeah.
It's like it's literally the exact same mechanics. Where, like jump, you're on this bridge that leads into the city. It's crumbling. Jump from ledge to ledge.
Yeah, you are 100% right about that.
Yeah. But 3, but 3 also
again,
had kind of cool thing too.
Pretty sweet.
Yeah. But I like about 3, like 3 like was like the villain was basically Helen Mirren.
Yeah.
It was kind of
it was.
And then like you sort of had like a Jason Statham character with you.
Yeah.
For a little bit, Charlie,
who just like leaves
there for a few minutes.
Yeah. Cuz he breaks his leg.
Ah, my leg. Boy.
And then the thing they tried to do with 3 is like they just up the animation for everyone. Like that was like kind of the big difference between 2 and 3 is like it's just like tons more animation. They kind of like made the melee fighting a little bit more. So it was like a lot of like you could like get a guy up to the bar like smash him over the head with a bottle and stuff and like they it was like a very rudimentary like Arkham like counter system.
Yeah.
Which it barely functions compared to Arkham now. It's just like if you played Arkham and go back to like Uncharted 3, it's just like this does not work.
Yeah.
Why am I not blocking him? But yeah, all three of those games amazing. Like if you see the Uncharted Nathan Drake collection for your PS4 like on sale anywhere or just like just in general just pick that up because it's. Those are some of the best, like, HD remakes I've ever seen, so. And that is pretty much it for me, so we can wrap this thing up for the week. If you pay attention to our Twitter feed this weekend, Chris and I are going to be at Atlantic City Boardwalk Con.
Woo!
Just trying to see no plans, just, like, find out what the hell's happening at that thing.
No rules.
Yeah, no rules. it's in casinos, like
a lot of Henson attitudes here.
Yes.
Just
anything could happen. And like we mentioned before, go on the site, download our Civil War viewcast. You can listen to an hour and a half of us talking about Civil War, and we're gonna have a bunch of other stuff on the site as well. We just announced our Kindergarten Cop 2 is our movie of the month, so we're going to be watching that at the end of the month. And trying to see if that's decent or some sort of horrible disaster. And
I vote horrible disaster.
Probably. Well, yeah. If it's a hilarious disaster, but...
Oh. Yeah, I think this is going to need to be a... review, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Had to come up with
some... It's going to get real uncomfortable.
Come up with some sort of, like, Dolph Lundgren-based cocktail.
Every time you see
the Drago or something.
Drink. Oh, yeah. That wouldn't be bad.
Some sort of vodka-based cocktail called the Drago.
Yeah.
Anyway.
We'll have to go to work on that.
Yes. We'll be back to that later. And all of our stuff's on the site as well, so definitely head over there and check that out. And, yeah, so for Chris and Joe, I am Zach, and we will see you next week.
For more Everything Action, visit everythingaction.com. Email us at contact@everythingaction.com. Facebook.com/everything.action. Twitter.com/EVAction. everythingaction.tumblr.com. And search for us on the iTunes Music Store and Stitcher.com.